is United States versus Partee, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. It pleases the court. My name is David Brown. I'm court-appointed counsel for Jerry Partee. Your Honors, the main issue of this case that Mr. Partee would like to bring to this court is when does a sentencing factor become an element of an offense, and when is an element offense held to be a sentencing factor? Obviously, Apprendi visited this issue and held that when a sentencing factor exceeds the statutory maximum penalty for that offense, it becomes an element and must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt and pled in the indictment. Mr. Partee entered a plea agreement at a time when he believed, based on the reports, based on the information to his counsel, that he was involved in a crime that involved approximately 80 plus grams of crack cocaine. The government did inform him in the sentencing agreement that they were going to introduce relevant conduct that would take the quantity of that drug well beyond the 83 grams. However, we did not have information as to how the government intended to prove that. By the time sentencing rolled or came to be, the government did give us information, reports of the various witnesses that they would intend to call at sentencing, and that was going to take the quantity of the drug well beyond 1,500 grams of crack cocaine. The problem that this creates for both defense counsel and his client is at trying to inform a client as well as possible as to what he's pleading guilty to. Mr. Partee believes Justice Thomas in the Apprendi decision in his concurring opinion is the way that Apprendi should follow. And Justice Thomas stated that all factors
we don't
should be considered.
We can't do that, can we? I mean, that's not. We've already said we're adhering to the majority, the limited majority opinion in Apprendi, and not going with the Justice Thomas. Haven't we said that? And
yes, you've said it obviously more than once.
Right. So
the problem that we are developing two completely vast different systems of criminal justice. You've got a state system. Even though they're governed by the same constitution, when a defendant comes into the federal system, it's getting to the point that the substance of offense is not where the focus lies, but his past, what he's done in his past, and how that plays out as sentencing factors that become the importance in the system. So when he pleads guilty to that substance of offense, that becomes kind of just the tip of the iceberg as to where his sentence is ultimately going to go and what additional information the government can present.
That was always true in sentencing.
I would argue that the state system more focuses on the substance of offense and the elements of the substance of offense in sentencing than it does on aggravating factors to a defendant's past.
Well, you're making a distinction, I guess, between prior convictions and relevant conduct, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, prior convictions are an objective fact, whereas relevant conduct you don't like because it's proven by a preponderance of the evidence.
Exactly. And the relevant conduct, the government holds basically holds all the information when it comes to the relevant conduct. When they present it and how they present it.
Apprendi is about using evidence in sentencing hearing proved beyond just by a preponderance to get above a statutory maximum. But relevant conduct is just used to determine where within the statutory range this defendant should be punished. So it's may be objectionable what the prosecutors do in these cases, but I don't know what it has to do with Apprendi.
Because how that relevant conduct is used determines how aggravating the offense becomes and how much
determines how close you get to the maximum statutory penalty. It doesn't jack you into another statutory category. In any
That's
guidelines
correct.
Case with relevant conduct, you're going to be moved around within the sentencing range between the minimum and maximum congressional sentence limits by preponderance of the evidence, aren't you? So you're really making a very far-reaching attack on the guidelines.
I would argue that the guidelines and the effects of Apprendi are putting more and more of the sentencing in the hands of the prosecutor as to how he pleads the case, how the case is indicted, taking that responsibility away from the sentencing judge, because many times the judge's hands are tied with how that crime is charged. And I think that the sentencing guidelines were designed to give consistency and stability to sentencing, and in fact, it's creating a it's creating such a complicated system that prosecutors are able to maneuver through, and really give them a great deal of discretion as to how hard they want to punish a particular defendant. Before the sentencing guidelines, before Apprendi, I think that those decisions were left more and more to the discretion of the judge. The facts are that Mr. Partee pled guilty to 83 grams of cocaine, and he's doing, because he was a career offender, he's doing very much an enhanced sentence over and above the 83 grams.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Ms. Seifert?
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. My name is Keith Seifert. I represent the United States, the appellee in this case. I also represented the United States in the district court below. Let me start where counsel for the appellant left off, and that is that he said because he is a career offender, he is serving a substantial sentence or something to that effect. And that's precisely the point. The relevant conduct finding in this case had absolutely zero impact on the sentencing guideline range that this defendant faced. Because defendant Partee was a career offender, separate and apart from relevant conduct, his offense level was automatically an offense level 37, his criminal history category was automatically a criminal history category 6, and his sentencing range was 360 to life. The relevant conduct finding increased the offense level by only one level from 37 to 38, and at 38 in a criminal history category 6, the sentencing guideline range is precisely the same, 360 months to life. So, in fact, the relevant conduct finding in this case had absolutely no effect on the sentencing guideline range faced by defendant Partee. That aside, I would also note, as this court has observed, that the maximum statutory sentence for defendant Partee was life imprisonment. This court held in Talbot versus Indiana that when the statutory maximum is life imprisonment, it is, and I quote, beside the point. Apprendi is beside the point in that particular situation. This court also held in Jones versus the United States that where a sentencing guideline finding results in a sentence within the statutory maximum, Apprendi is not applicable. So the only argument the defendant makes today out of his three arguments has been ruled on by this court not once or twice but repeatedly, and in each instance this court has held that Apprendi does not apply. I will rely on our brief as to the other two arguments Defendant Partee made challenging the sentence in this case, unless there are any questions from the panel.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Seifert. Mr. Brown, how much time does he have?
Very briefly, Your Honors, I think the defendant needs to know the scope of the crime that he's being charged with at the time of his plea to make an informed plea. And under the system of, with the sentencing guidelines and the use of relevant conduct and the timing in which that information is made to the defendant, he cannot make an informed plea until he has that information. And in our instant case, Mr. Partee was a few weeks out, possibly 3 weeks before sentencing, that he actually learned who the people were that were going to come forth and present the case against him. And I think that due process and notions of fair play and justice require that he be informed at a very minimum of what these factors are. And for those reasons, I would ask for you to find a favor for my client. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brown, and thank you for accepting the appointment. And the case will be.